Jaya Nishingade, 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 Jaya Nishingade. Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada. Nita Gora Haribo, 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 Nita Gora Haribo.
Jai Om Vishnupar Parahangs Paridesharya Satarashman Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki His Confounder Acharya BBD Founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupar Parahangs Paridesharya Satarashman Bhakti Vedanta Saraswati Swami Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Chali Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Raj Govardhan Ki Rajabhu Mishra Vrindavan Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Ki Chinavarip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Maya Jamana Maya Ki Thulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Janita Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om. All glories to the Samurti Gauris Hare Krishna. All glories to the Samurti Gauris Hare Krishna. All glories to the Samurti Gauris Hare Krishna. All glories to the feet of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupada Krishna Prishtaya Putale Shimati Bhakti Chaitanya Samaniti Namaya. Namami Bhakti Chaitanya Prabhupada Anu Sevanam. Shri Vrajadhana Mahatmyam Pradashikam. Namo Vishnupraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nidvishesha Shunyati Parshati Deshtarane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 58.
Kim Dusaham No Sadhunam Kim Dusaham No Sadhunam Kim dusaham nu sadunam vidusam kim apekshitam vidusham kim apekshitam kim akaryam kadaryanam kim akaryam kadaryanam tischajam kim dritatmanam Dushyajam kim dridatmanam Kim dushaham nu sadunam Vidushaham kim apekshitam Kim akharyam kadaryanam Dushyajam kim dridatmanam Kim dushaham nu sadunam Vidusam kim apekshitam Kim akaryam kadaryanam Dushyajam kim dhatmanam Kim dushaham nu sadunam Vidusam kim apekshitam Kimakaryam kadaryanam Tishyajam kim dridatmanam किं दुष्टां नु साधूनां विदुषां किम् अपेक्षितां किम कार्यं कदार्यानां दिश्चार्जं किम् आत्मनां किं दुषां नु साधूनां विदुषां किम् अपेक्षितां किम कार्यं कदार्यानां दुश्चार्जम किम दीर्घात्मनाम
माताजी
किम दुस्साहम नु साधुनाम विदुषाम किम अपेक्षिताम किम कार्यम कदार्यानाम दुश्चार्जम किम दीर्घात्मनाम
Anybody else?
Kim dushaham nu sadunam vidusham kim apekshitam kim akaryam kadaryanam dushajam kim dritatmanam.
Word for word.
Kim,
what is?
Dushaham,
painful.
Nu,
indeed.
Sadunam,
for saintly persons.
Vidusham,
of learned persons.
Kim apekshitam,
what is dependence?
Kim akaryam,
what is forbidden work?
Kadaryanam,
of persons in the lowest grade.
Dushyajam,
very difficult to give up.
Kim,
what is?
Trita Atmanam,
of persons who are self-realized. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of a Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? Please repeat this responsively. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth, how could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character, and what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? Purport. Since the eighth son of Devaki was to kill Kamsa, one might ask what the need was for Vasudev to deliver the firstborn child. The answer is that Vasudev had promised Kamsa that he would deliver all the children born of Devaki. Kamsa, being an asura, did not believe that the eighth child would kill him. He took it for granted that he might be killed by any of the children of Devaki. Vasudev, therefore, to save Devaki, promised to give Kamsa every child, whether male or female. From another point of view, Vasudev and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, would come as their eighth son. Vasudev, a pure devotee of the Lord, was eager to see Krishna appear as his child from the eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly so that the eighth turn would come and Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year so that Krishna's turn to appear would come as soon as possible.
Kim dusaham nusadunam vidusam kim apekshitam kim akharyam kadaryanam duskyajam kim dridatmanam.
What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet?
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Shri Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. In this verse, there are four questions. And I'm going to repeat the verse. Keep these questions in the forefront of your mind. Please pay attention. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of a Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? These are the four questions. Now in the purport, Prabhupada will answer each of these questions. Not chronologically, but he will answer them. So the first part of this purport involves Vasudev's promise. As we know, Vasudev has made an amazing promise. Incredible, unbelievable promise. Which is to deliver all of his children, unborn children, to Kamsa, knowing that Kamsa will kill those children. Now we'll dissect that point about his knowing that Kamsa will kill the children and his detachment later on. So Prabhupada says here, since the eighth son of Devaki was to kill Kamsa, one might ask what the need was for Vasudeva to deliver the firstborn child. So that's a question in the purport itself. So why would Prabhupada bring this point up? Because he needed to clarify why Vasudeva was delivering the firstborn child, although the prediction said eighth born. And why is that? Because Vasudeva was trying to maintain his promise. He was a person who lived his life very truthfully, an exemplary Brahman. So this answers the question, the first question. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? So the answer is nothing. Because beyond mundane truth and mundane morality, which was explained in the class on mundane morality was, who spoke about that? Achintya Prabhu. No, I'm thinking who spoke about it. Yes, it was Sunday, Achintya Chaitanya Prabhu spoke about mundane morality. And he touched on this verse as well. So people are considering mundane morality, they will not be able to strictly adhere to the truth. When time comes and they're feeling some discomfort, some material pain, they will adjust the truth. Not Vasudeva. Because you're 100% a pure devotee, as we will discuss further. Further on this purport, Prabhupada is speaking about Kamsa being an asura. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's an elaborate description, explanation, and unpacking of the terms demon and devotee. It's called the divine and demonic natures.
Krishna explains in the first three verses what are the qualities of a devotee, a divine natures, Daiva Sampada. Thereafter, for the next 17 verses, Krishna explains what are the demoniac qualities. So some of the demonic qualities, and you may read and research at your own time, at your own discretion, are pride, arrogance, and harshness. So is Kamsa affected by these things? Maybe a little bit? What do you say, Mahaprabhu? Completely is soaked in it. That's his essence. He is a 100% demon, as you get 100% Vaishnava. And what was his response to being told that the 8-born child of Devaki will kill him? Prabhupada says here, Kamsa, being an asura, did not believe that the 8 child would kill him. He took it for granted that he might be killed by any of the children of Devaki. What was his response? What was his plan of action? Kill them all. So this is like detonating a nuclear bomb. Nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, kills everything that it comes in contact with. So there may be some innocents, some civilians, they caught up in the crossfire, they die. So in the same way, Kamsa is detonating this very disastrous plan of his. And this answers the next question here. What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? Because Kamsa is asura, demoniac, he will not hesitate to commit any heinous, unbelievably heinous deed to fulfill his own plan and cover his own back, basically. Then Prabhupada says here, from another point of view, Vasudeva and Devaki were very pleased. Hare Krishna, you're going to give your child, your newborn babies, one at a time to be bashed on the stone slab. Their head comes out, grab them by the feet and bash their heads on a stone slab. Or whatever atrocious means used to kill these newborn babies. And you are wanting giving your children, so many children, 6 babies, and then you are pleased? Something doesn't add up here. So we need to analyze this a little further. First of all, those of you that studies Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's purpose, especially those involved in studying in societies like the institutes, like Mayapur Institute, you'll see that when Prabhupada used the word but, therefore, there's something called a twist. He is going to put your mind in another direction now. So the first few sentences, he's describing and superficial little response by Vasudev and then a following response by Kamsa. But beneath that, Prabhupada says, from another point of view, which means he's going to add some more information to this, a twist. And here is the twist, that Vasudev and Devaki are called pleased. It seems callous, out of context, considering the ghastly situation of a newborn child, fresh out of the mother's womb, being bashed on a stone slab. And they're pleased by this? That is because it answers the third question. What is that? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? Now beyond material existence and the normal flow of things in life is the higher purpose of the Lord. And to know that purpose of the Lord, you find that out from Guru and from Shastra and Sadhu. The next very interesting word I found in a purport was eager. It's described here. Vasudev, as a pure devotee of the Lord, was eager to see Krishna appear as his child. Now that's understandable. If you knew somehow that Krishna is going to appear in your family, you'll be very excited, yeah? But all of his previous children were killed. So that joy, that excitement of having a child, what to speak of Krishna, just having a child come into your home, that joy is depleted, is diminished. But Vasudeva is described as eager. Why? Because the personality that he's accepting in his home is Krishna. There's one nice verse from Padyavali, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapters 8, text 70. Tatra lolyam api molyam ekalam. It can be attained only by paying one price. That is intense greed to obtain it. The it spoken of here is pure devotional service. It's not cheap. Why is pure devotional service not cheap? Because when somebody is engaged in pure devotional service, he purchases Krishna himself. So that's not a cheap price to pay. It's a very high price. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that in their mentality, Vasudev and Devaki were going to deliver the children quickly. You know, pregnancy, for those of you that are householders who have had children or going to have children, pregnancy is a very exciting time. Not always for the mother. She has a moment though. But to just know that there's a life developing in your wife, I mean, a woman knowing there's a life developing in her, is very exciting. And my wife tells me, you know, those were like the best times, because, you know, having the newborn baby move inside her and then get be born, it's very beautiful, that this creation. But it says here that Vasudev and Devaki wanted this process to occur quickly. Why? They wanted to get to that point where Krishna is appearing. So from a mundane point of view, you think, what are they talking about? They want this entire glorious miracle of childbirth to go quickly? Yes. To expedite the appearance of Krishna. They can't wait for that moment. That is their anxiety. That is their happiness. And that joy of relishing, enjoying parenthood is given up. That answers the fourth question in the verse. What is that? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? There can be no question if Vasudeva and Devaki are surrendered. There's never a shadow of a doubt. What more sacrifice can you give than your newborn child? It displays a great deal of detachment on the path of Vasudeva and Devaki. Yesterday, His Grace Krishna Swarup Prabhu was speaking about the pain that Devaki felt. So, for something to, let's not even speak about death, for something to happen to your child, a parent who's observing, the father pains so much of pain. But multiplied many times more is the pain felt by the mother. So he used Vasudev, he has to give up his children. So how much more pain will Devaki be feeling? That's the point that brought up by Prabhu yesterday. So it shows that he was very detached, because he knew what the ultimate purpose of having those children was to come to that eighth born child, who was Krishna, and to fulfill his view of paritanaya sadhanam vinashtayatra duskritam. Now, I'll relate my own experience, if you don't mind. When my baby was born, I was there. And the first person they gave the baby to wasn't to the mother. It wasn't to me either. They took her into a little table, wiped her off from the birth, after birth. Then they took to another room, and they checked her weight. That's pretty innocent. But she was cold because of the AC, in the hospital AC in that theater. And then they picked under her foot with a needle. I thought, what? Welcome to the material world. From day one, from within 5 minutes, my daughter is experiencing what it is to be in this material world. Pain. This is because they wanted some blood sample. And then, of course, being born, she was crying so much. You know, and she cried even more when they picked her foot. And I was thinking, oh my God, what is this? And I was basically almost in tears, besides witnessing her birth, but to see that to my baby, my newborn baby. So you can just imagine the detachment. That newborn baby, in future verses, when Krishna is born and he glorifies Devaki, Devaki is explaining, Krishna or Devaki, I'm not sure, I forget. The children were bright as the morning sunshine. So a newborn baby, very bright, very delicate, comes and took the feet, smashed it on the rock. So Vasudev knew this and still he gave the child to Kamsa. So my presentation today will be divided into three parts. The first part is just concluded, which is an analysis of these four questions. The second part is an analysis of the nature of demons, the demoniac nature, which is explained in the 16th chapter. I've concentrated to an extent on the book itself, Bhagavad Gita as it is, but I've taken a lot of information from His Grace Buddhijan Prabhu, who writes the book Surrender Unto Me. So in his analysis, Buddhijan Prabhu, on how to overcome the demonic nature and a description of the demonic nature, he speaks in his commentary to text 5 that the demonic nature can be changed. One may ask, what happens if you are faced by demonic nature? Maybe not a demon, but sometimes you're affected by demonic qualities. Anyone have some demonic quality sometimes? Nobody? Wow. I'm pleased to have your association, Prabhu and Mothers. So I'm up there with Kamsa, you know. So how can demoniac qualities change? How can the demonic nature change? By favorable association. Because Buddhijan Prabhu says, one's quality changes according to one's association. I knew one devotee once who said, show me your association and I'll tell you who you are. One is judged by the company he keeps. Birds of a feather flock together. So you can be a swan or you can be a crow. Depends who you associate with. But the wonder, the glory of Krishna consciousness is an association. Even if you are a crow and you take the association of swans, you may become a swan. So Buddhijan Prabhu explains that if you associate with people who are lusty, greedy, angry, you will gain those qualities. You become lusty, greedy and angry. And if you want to have a perfect Krishna consciousness, you associate with the perfect. What is the perfect? Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. Then Srila Prabhupada was asked once, this was in Melbourne, 1975, one devotee asks Prabhupada, how do I become sincere? It's a very good question. One may argue, I mean before asking, saying what Prabhupada says, that one can actually not become sincere because it's inborn. But Prabhupada disagrees. This was Prabhupada's answer. Prabhupada said, how can you become a drunkard? If you want to be a drunkard, you associate with drunkards. If you want to be sincere, associate with all these devotees. They are all sincere. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai, Labha Mata Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. A moment's association of an advanced devotee brings all perfection. Then Buddhijan Prabhu continues with his analysis, text 7, describing the demon's mentality. He says that demons perform actions without discrimination of what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And that's indicative of the mode of passion, Rajagun. And Buddhijan Prabhu says that demons are very strongly endowed with the mode of passion. They're very passionate. And also he mentioned that they don't follow Shastra. This point I'll talk about later as well. So now to the question, the main question, how to give up demoniac qualities. And if you look at 16th chapter verses 21 to 24, Krishna answers that question. What is that? Krishna himself says, by the regulations of the scriptures. There are three things to consult with to find out if something is the absolute truth. What are they? Sadhu, Guru, Shastra. Now there's a devotee in South Africa, you may not know him. He was in UK, so those of you that are from London may know him. From Birmingham. Sorry, not Birmingham. Coventry. Those who are from Coventry may know him. His name is His Holiness Krishna Das Swami. So a few days ago, it was the 1 year anniversary that he left the body. So I went for darshan once to Maharaj's home. He was staying with some disciples. And Maharaj was explaining about the importance of reading Bhagavad Gita. So he said that these three things are there. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Guru is fallible because sometimes Guru may fall down. True? It's happened in our society. Sadhu, you may not get a body of sadhus all the time. But Shastra is the constant. If you learn physics, there's the constant variable and the dependent variable. If you learn chemistry. So the dependent variable, the unchangeable, is Shastra. One who lives his life by Shastra automatically finds himself aligned with the other two. So, Prabhupada alludes to this in a lecture given on chapter 16, text 7, February 3rd, 1975 in Hawaii, Honolulu. Prabhupada says here, so Krishna says, that's in parentheses, so Krishna says, this is called theism, believing in Shastra. Now which wise person amongst you can tell me what's the opposite of theism? Atheism, which means demoniac. So Prabhupada is saying here, to be the opposite of demoniac, to be divine, you listen to what Krishna says in Shastra. Oh, one more thing I remembered just now. There's not even in my sheet for preparation here. Is that Prabhupada, His Holiness Krishna Das Maharaj says that Bhagavad Gita, this is not Bhagavad Gita, but he says that Bhagavad Gita, you approach to the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Have you ever heard that before? That's amazing. It blew my mind, you know, sky high. So I asked him, what do you mean? He said, these words are Krishna's words. So in Krishna consciousness, in devotional life, you don't necessarily approach directly Krishna or even Guru, exalted personalities. You go through one who is dear to them. Who is the dearmost to Krishna? Srimati Radharani. So if you get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, automatically why will you not understand Krishna? And it's described that if you want to get the attention of Krishna and please Srimati Radharani by your service, Srimati Radharani will take you by the hand and introduce you to Krishna. See this devotee? He or she is very sincere. Please accept him. And Krishna is obliged to accept you. So we should hanker for the shelter of Srimati Radharani. Now I've discussed the verse and context of the purport. I've discussed an analysis of demoniac nature. Now I will speak about how these qualities, demonic nature, affects us sometimes. So the question is, how much are you affected? When I say you, I mean we. Affected by demoniac qualities. So His Grace Krishna, so Prabhu, quoted a verse yesterday. And I'm not sure of the Sanskrit. Maybe Prabhu can say it later. Once you become a devotee of Krishna, you are free from anger, greed, envy, etc. That's what it means to be a devotee of Krishna. You're freed from these things. I can honestly say I'm not. But every time I engage in the process of chanting japa, associating with devotees, following Krishna consciousness, I'm in the process of trying to become free from those qualities. So how to become free from these qualities? Because sometimes you have a tendency to snap. You may find yourself very calm, cool and collected, cool as a cucumber. And somebody hits that nerve, you know that nerve. You know, you can do anything to Prabhu, but don't hit that. You know that nerve? That's my nerve. Don't touch that nerve. But then you get this person in your association who knows where that nerve is. And they look out like a bullseye on that nerve of yours, and they hit that nerve every single day, you know, like sadhana. Well, I ensure you, that person has been placed there not by their own volition. That person has been placed in your circumference of devotees, in your circle of devotees, by Krishna himself for your purification. Once I was writing to my Guru Maharaj and complaining, Guru Maharaj, I'm suffering this, that. Guru Maharaj says, don't worry. Krishna is trying to squeeze the Maya out of you. Now, how many of you have been squeezed by a bigger person in a hug? Oh, yeah, I don't wrestle, but anyway. You've been squeezed tight in a hug. More than your comfort zone, like really squeezed. Yeah. Till you can't breathe, basically. So Krishna will squeeze you tighter than that to get every drop of Maya out. And you know what we will do? We say, ouch, no, enough. I want that back. No. I want to hold on to my Maya. This is not good. Give it up. Process may be uncomfortable because to make a dove diamond, all the rough edges have to be polished. It's a painful process. Purification is purification. By nature, sometimes it's painful. So, the means to escape our lower nature is to chant the holy names of the Lord without offenses. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada mentioned minimum of 16 rounds. Unfortunately, we all treat that as maximum 16 rounds. Oh Prabhu, how many chants did you tell you finish? Yes, I finished my 16 rounds maximum. No, Prabhupada's not a fool. He knew what he was saying when he said 16 rounds minimum, because Chaito Darpana Marjan may take a lifetime or lifetimes to take place. So much of layers of dirt on the heart. And each time you clear layers, there's more beneath and more beneath. Till finally you can see a reflection of who you truly are. Pure, like a raindrop, uncontaminated by dust. But when that raindrop comes to the material world, touches the dust of the earth, it becomes muddy. By nature, it is still water and pure, but because of association. What is that? Sarasat guna. What is that verse? Guna Sangasya. It's 13th chapter. Janma Yon. There's a verse that speaks about associating with the modes, you become affected by it. So, there's one more point. Excuse me. When you chant, it's like tuning into a radio. Jivanath Prabhu will identify, those of you that in my age group, there used to be a radio, you use a dial to tune. Now you just use the phone, you know, it just zaps this way, you know, digital. But in those days there was a dial to tune it, your radio station. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have a radio, you tune. So chanting japa attentively is like that. Tuning into the correct radio station, the correct wavelength. But the thing is, in between the various radio stations, there's a lot of static, all horrible things. That's inattentive chanting. That's offensive chanting. And that is fueled by offenses to the devotees. You know, just earlier I mentioned about snapping. You cool, you come, and then something, you snap. You see, the problem is when you snap against devotees, that may constitute Vaishnava aparad. And Vaishnava aparad is described as Matahari, the mad elephant disease. I've never seen a mad elephant, except on video on YouTube, where the elephant is just rushing through the village and bringing down a shack, a house, and squashing through the vegetables. So the thing is, in your heart has been planted the bhakti lata bija, the seed of devotional service. And by watering, by hearing and chanting, and by fencing that, we'll come to the fencing, by watching, by hearing and chanting, that bija sprouts, becomes a lata, a kripa, and climbs up, out of the material world to the spiritual world and takes shelter of Krishna's lotus eventually, and bears fruit of love of God. But to get to the stage of growing that aha, it has to survive, it has to live, it has to be nourished. So a few things must go on. Number one, we have to regularly water it with hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Without offenses. Secondly, we must diligently, like a gardener, weed out unnecessary things from the heart. Because alongside your creeper are many unwanted things. Desire for name, fame, profit, adoration, distinction. All of these things must be removed. And to protect your creeper, your delicate creeper, if you know what is a pea, it's a very delicate thing. It needs the support actually to grow. Pea, tendril, they call it, creeper. But to protect your creeper, you need to fence it. How do you fence your creeper? With the association of advanced devotees. Then the matahati, the crazy mad elephant, cannot touch you. So I'm going to wish to stop a little early today because we're all going to go downstairs to pray for His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, who's having surgery today. So I'll end now. Are there any questions or comments on this? Everything is clear? Can I ask you some questions? Just kidding. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rashi Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gopi Manande.